We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Copper, I did it right.
You did. Nailed it.
Okay. Hey, listen, I'm going to number two on the triple dipper. ESG was DOA was the first one. Now we're moving to live free or die. Live free or die. There's the old Second Amendment battle cry, right? Live free or die. Well, so here's the deal. You know, we just had most recent Supreme Court action that overturned a case that had been ongoing for years out of New York. That particular case referred to as, I think it was New York Rifle and Pistol Club versus New York. Basically, it determined states do not have a right to abridge the Second Amendment. It dealt with an issue of whether or not a concealed carry permit holder in the state of New York had to justify, if you will, their need for a concealed carry permit. Well, I mean, okay, because I want one. Self-defense was not considered to be a viable enough reason. You had to justify the actual danger that you felt, and it was ridiculous. Well, the Supreme Court came back and smacked it down. And yet what we're seeing is since that time, states are beginning to take action. You might reckon when I say that, liberal states are beginning to take action, trying to go back and recoup the losses they faced. Now, they're going to, in my opinion, it's like striving after wind here. They're literally going after something that the Supreme Court said that they can't do, but they're going to do it anyway because that's what they do. Well, let me just remind you of something, though. As we talk about the Second Amendment, I love this story. I'm looking at a story. This one's from 2018. It's the most recent version I could find. The Daily Caller. Daily Caller, headline, one of Georgia's safest cities requires its citizens to own a gun. But CNN doesn't know why crime is so low. Okay, so if you're not familiar, Kennesaw, Georgia. How many of y'all been to Kennesaw? I have, certainly. Got friends that lived over that way. Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, that'd be the year before I graduated high school. Oh, I just dated myself. When it comes to America's response to gun crime, it says one Georgia town has been thinking outside the box since 1982 when its leaders passed a law requiring its citizens to own a firearm. You heard me. All of our folks will have a firearm, period. So here's the deal. The Kennesaw, Georgia law actually states this is the way it is. Quote, every head of household residing in the city limits is required to maintain a firearm. And the you know, police lieutenant Craig Graydon, who was interviewed for this particular article, he says this 30-year law actually was meant to be, you know, a crime deterrent. Well, guess what? As far as would-be criminals, it says looking for an easy mark, judging by the crime statistics, according to this article from the Daily Caller, crime appears to have bypassed Kennesaw and moved on to easier targets. And even CNN was recently forced to admit that Kennesaw, a 33,000-strong community, has had only one murder in the last 6 years and a violent crime rate below 2%. when you know that you got a good solid chance of getting shot because the city ordinance is so gun-friendly that it says every household will have, and I don't know if they enforce it. I don't think they go around and say, do you have your gun? Knocking at the door, ma'am, I'm with the gun check police. We want to make sure you actually have your firearm. Do you have your firearm? They're not doing that. And I'm sure that there are anti-gun people in Kennesaw. But by and large, what you're looking at here, though, is probably a community that is far more prolific in terms of gun ownership than any other around. Legal gun owners who are literally told by their town council, you're going to own a firearm. You are going to own a firearm. And hey, criminals, be aware, they all own a firearm. But CNN, according to the article, Daily Caller says, but it's unclear whether that has anything to do with the gun law, the crime statistics. I got news. It does. And there was also all this talk back in the 80s, and I remember this. Yeah, I remember when it was passed. Because, again, apparently I'm old. But I remember when this was passed, and it was a big deal. There was all this talk about it being the Wild West. Well, guess what? It's not. It's a bedroom community of Atlanta. It's a place people want to live. And it's got a very low crime rate. So we're going to talk about some things that other states are trying to do. Live free or die. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Glad you are with us. Time now, 3:35 p.m. If you want to call in, by the way, we'd love to have you call. 866-494-9866. Feel free. 866-494-9866. So far, we've talked about the woke corporations using ESG scores, and by the way, some of that's bleeding into retirement portfolios, even in public pensions. ESG scores, what do you think? And then now, right now, I'm in the second part of the Triple Dipper, live free or die. Live free or die. I'm talking about the Second Amendment. You want to call in and weigh in, tell me what you think. 866-494-9866. We'll take those calls. I got the first article here in my stack of stuff. I just told you about Kennesaw, by the way. I love that story. 1982, the city of Kennesaw, just north of Atlanta, passed a law, a city ordinance, if you will, that actually says that, you know, you're going to own a gun. The head of every household will maintain a usable firearm, according to the town council of Kennesaw. Awesome. Well, crime rate is below 2% for violent crime in Kennesaw. They haven't had a murder in 6 years. And that's just, I take it back, one murder in 6 years in a town of 33,000 population. Okay, what's that tell you? I don't know. Maybe responsible gun ownership actually deters crime. Go figure. Story from the Coleman Times, right here in the listening area. Who knew the Coleman Times was quite so liberal? I did not know this. Coleman Times, here's the article dated July 9th, so just what, Saturday? Amid recurrent gun violence, Alabama and Georgia haven't tightened gun laws in decades. Asia Ashley is the reporter who wrote this. Where has she been? Asia Ashley, we just passed one of the few in the nation permitless gun carry bills in the state of Alabama. We just passed it. We're an open carry state, and you're not required to have a permit to conceal carry in Alabama. But she's going to write an article saying, we haven't tightened our gun laws in decades. No. Have you not caught the trend? Even when Democrats controlled the state house, they didn't tighten the gun laws. Why? It's Alabama. I mean, this is a gun-friendly state. We believe in our Second Amendment rights. We may fuss about some things, but we typically, across in a bipartisan way, don't fuss too much about gun control. Because gun control, bad. All right, listen. Asia actually writes this thing in Coleman Times, and the first thing she does is go back and start talking about, like, pre-Civil War laws that were in place that prevented black people from owning guns. What does that got to do with where we are today? Nothing. It just gave her the ability to virtue signal some historical context that she found to be objectionable, which we all find to be objectionable, because it was objectionable, and that's why we did away with it. Go figure. All right. Then she goes and interviews a University of Alabama law professor who apparently struggles to understand the law. This particular law professor's name is Frederick Vars, a law professor at the University of Alabama who has apparently written numbers of journals and books about gun control and violence. He points out, I know much has been written about a kind of connection to making sure that slaves don't get guns. Why are we talking about slaves having guns, Coleman Times? Because we don't have slaves. We abolished slavery. We don't have any laws that say that your racial demographics are what determines whether you're allowed to have a gun. Just saying, why are we doing this? Anyway, they went on to waste some time and then finally got down to the point. The final point here is that the law professor, Vars, says, I think historically the Supreme Court, up until the 2018 Heller decision, said that the Second Amendment was not intended to include an individual's right to bear arms apart from militia service. No, it didn't. No, it did not. It has been well settled through jurisprudence for a number of years that the well-regulated militia did not mean you had to be in a militia to own a gun. That is ridiculous. This is the most ridiculous. Coleman Times, what are you doing writing this article? Anyway. The law professor goes on to say, I think we may be getting further away from the original intent, as I understand it. But then again, I'm not a historian. No, but you are a law professor, and you're not opining about history. You're opining about Supreme Court rulings. And since you're a law professor, I would think that you could handle that. I'm not a rocket surgeon, but I see those two things as being, you know, important. Law professor, the law. Anyway, it goes on to talk about the fact, though, that in Georgia and Alabama, background checks are required for licensed dealers, but not for private sales. True. This year, Georgia, Alabama, and other states approved bills allowing gun owners to carry without a permit. True. 2017, the Georgia legislature passed what's called the Campus Carry Law, allowing concealed handguns to be carried on college campuses. True. I'm not sure what the point of this article is, except to say that we are Second Amendment friendly here in the Southeast. So, Coleman Times wasted a lot of time getting down to the point on page 4 of the entire article where it says, gun reform proposals could be tough to pass in Republican-leaning states. Well, there's a news flash. Coleman Times has noticed that it's hard to have gun control legislation pass in conservative-leaning states. There you go. They also point out, though, that gun sales went through the roof in 2020, and they attributed it in part to the COVID-19 pandemic and protests. I got news. Nobody bought a gun because they were scared of COVID. However, gun sales went through the roof when Biden got elected and when protests were ripping our country up and people were scared and they needed something for self-defense. That's what happened. So that being said, let's talk about some of the things that are happening that are trying to limit the ability of people to exercise their Second Amendment rights. Well, first of all, President Biden can't control himself. Now, actually, he is one of the people who advocated for the assault weapons ban back in the 90s. Still proud of it. Got it passed. Ooh, 1994. Corn Pop was trying to come at me with a chain. Corn Pop's a tough dude. If you're not familiar, go look up Corn Pop Joe Biden. You'll find the story. Anyway, he did pass or help pass, led the charge, if you will, for the assault weapons ban, which was repealed in, what, 2002, I believe, because it was ineffectual. I got news. If something had been passed that was doing what the people who got it passed wanted done, and they were still in the majority, it would not have been repealed. But it had a sunset provision on it, and it did not meet the marks. It did not act as advertised. It did not curb crime. And yet, Joe Biden, article in the Epoch Times, dated July 11th, that would be yesterday. Quote, Biden says he's determined to renew the assault weapons ban. Good luck. My AR is my AR. I like my AR. President Joe Biden on Monday said he wants to implement a new ban on assault weapons as he touted the Safer Communities Act that was passed at the White House or passed in Congress while he was at the White House. He says, we're living in a country awash in weapons of war. What is the rationale for these weapons outside of war zones? Assault weapons need to be banned. First of all, what's an assault weapon? If someone was recently stabbed, was it an assault knife? How about the guy in Waukesha who ran his car through a parade of onlookers? Was that an assault car? But they like to give titles to things. Anyway, he goes on to say, I led the fight in 1994. Under pressure from the National Rifle Association of the Gun Manufacturers and others, that ban was lifted in 2004. Okay, it was 2004. Anyway, on Monday, he also said he wants to ban high-capacity magazines. Now listen, those of you that don't know me from the Birmingham audience yet, the military has been a huge part of my life. Spent 30 years serving as a infantry officer, airborne and ranger qualified. I can tell you right now, you can reduce the number of rounds in a magazine. All you got to do is be faster at changing your magazines. That does nothing to deter crime. Nothing. All it does is make you feel good. All it does is make liberals feel like they did something. It's a virtue signaling thing. We're going to reduce the amount of bullets in your magazine. Okay, I'll buy more magazines. What does that do? Nothing. Do you know how quickly I can change out a magazine? Seconds. 30-round magazine, 20-round magazine, and oh, by the way, they don't make 10-round magazines for an AR-15. The AR platform, what are you going to do? You're going to take a 30-round magazine, have to put a plug in it, I guess, to create a 10-round magazine, but then when you look at it, how can you tell? This is ridiculous. Last month, 15 Republican senators joined all Democrats to pass the Safer Communities Act, which includes federal funding to enforce red flag laws, implements more stringent background checks, and maintains and makes obtaining guns through straw purchases a federal offense. Okay, there's so many things that are undefined in there that this federal law is going to wind up being unworkable. And a red flag law, by the way, a red flag law has multiple violations of constitutional rights because your right to due process is removed by anyone, any state, who puts in place a law that says that because someone thinks something about you, not conviction, no form of adjudication, because someone has alleged something or thought something about you, it somehow removes your Second Amendment rights. Well, apparently that means it also removes your due process rights, which is not right. And I'm going to tell you right now, this ain't going to fly in the long run. But the left is never going to be appeased. Washington Examiner, dated yesterday also. Parkland father heckles Biden during a White House gun violence event. Now, I will go ahead and caveat this by saying I recognize that we're looking at someone who is an activist because of a loss he's experienced. So Manuel Oliver is the father of a Parkland shooting victim. His son, who I believe the name is pronounced Joaquin, was one of the kids that was killed in the Parkland shootings. And so this father is now an activist for gun control. I get it. He has a passion. I don't feel any inhibition about saying he is welcome to his opinion. But what I am saying is, in this particular case, they will never be satisfied. So here we have Biden giving a speech at the, you know, on the lawn of the White House yesterday, and this Parkland father, who is a gun control activist, literally stood up in the middle of it and interrupted the President of the United States to holler that he's not doing enough. Because, see, that's, and he's not the only one that feels that way. The left believes that until they have gotten your guns out of your hands, that not enough is being done. And that's where we are. So right now, this bipartisan Safer Communities Act with red flag laws, closing the boyfriend loophole, it's a farce. And it's dangerous, because what it's doing is it's creating an opportunity for the diminishing value, if you will, in the public eye, in the public arena, for civil liberties, for actual constitutionally bound rights. Those are not supposed to be malleable. Those are not supposed to be bendable at will. They cannot be abridged with impunity. There is a strict construction upon review by the Supreme Court when it comes to constitutionality. And the idea that states can just abridge those when they feel like it is antithetical not just to common sense, it's antithetical to good judicial sense. When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you, there's a number of states, though, that have already gone kind of off the deep end. Like, I'm saying, they're checking your social media. They're literally limiting the size of your magazines. One of them's even limiting the amount of ammunition you can buy. What do they do if you're a reloader at home? I don't know. They don't know either. Hang tight. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, I got a caller on line four. Hey, it's Jeff from Indiana, line four. Jeff, how you doing today, bud? Oh, no. Did I lose Jeff? Copper, did we lose him?
Seems so.
Oh, shoot. Rats. Well, Jeff's on the road. He'll call back in a few minutes. Jeff Rowe, give a call back if you can. I love talking to Jeff. Anyway, all right, folks, I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. By the way, you want to call in, we'll take calls, 866-494-9866. Got a few more minutes here on the show out of the... Oh, you got him back, Copper? Go highlight him if you're good to go. We got Jeff on line five now? All right, let's try it again. Jeff from Indiana, my brother, how you doing?
Doing good, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind, buddy?
Oh, Phil, what am I going to do with you? You keep talking about all these rights we've got. You don't have any rights unless the executive branch enforces them. Guess what? They're not enforcing any right now.
Silly me. I don't know what I was thinking, Jeffro. So you know, it's crazy how they just pick and choose what they want to enforce to, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, let's just take Hunter Biden, for instance, and everything. I mean, he's broken federal law and should probably be in jail right now, but that hasn't happened. You know, if you do the same thing, it's going to happen to you, though, because
of
your
Lord,
politics.
Yeah. I mean, you got people right now for the January 6th thing that are not even sure why they're in jail. They've been incarcerated for a year, detained without, you know, good due process or probable cause, and yet Hunter Biden, how many laws has he broken? And we actually have the video to prove it, and it just keeps on going.
Yeah, and like I say, as long as the Justice Department is politicized and we have an executive branch that won't enforce the laws, you basically don't have anything. That's why the Second Amendment is so important, because that's, you know, at some point that the government gets into so much tyranny that you rise up, and then you're armed to do so. You've got a leg to stand on, and that's the only reason that they're afraid of it, because, you know, if they take your guns away, it might as well be Germany, and you might as well be Jewish.
Let's hope it doesn't come down to that. But, you know, the reality is that the founding fathers who wrote that Second Amendment, along with the other, you know, portions of the Bill of Rights, they had just lived through tyranny, and that's why they wrote those things down for us and passed them into law.
Exactly. And as far as, you know, professors and things like that, you know, I'm just a dumb high school educated guy, and when I got out of school, I thought, you know, these other people that got these college educations are so much wiser than I am and everything. Until I got around a bunch of them and figured out pretty quick that they were just a bunch of idiots with sheepskins on the wall.
That's exactly right. I mean, they can have the most highbrow piece of paper on the wall, but it don't mean they got walking around sense, right?
Yeah. I used to be a friend of the old Indiana governor, Edgar Wickham, and he told me a story one time that, you know, and he was a very smart man, lawyer, World War II hero and stuff, and he was, you know, he could do just anything. He sailed around the world and everything. But he, in the 70s, he had a flat tire beside the road there, and he couldn't figure out how to change his tire because it had one of those special lugs on there that had the anti-theft lug.
Yeah.
And a couple old country bumpkins come by and saved him, you know. Here's this highly educated man, you know, did do all these things and stuff, couldn't figure out how to change a tire.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. It takes all of us, and it takes, by the way, all of us having our rights enforced. I appreciate you calling, Jeff, as always, man. Great commentary, and you be safe on the road. All right, listen, we are coming up on the end of this particular segment. I ran a little long before, so we got a short segment here. But I got to tell you, so here's the way it's going to work. If you didn't already know, Birmingham audience, you've got us from 2 to 4. We're on it's a three-hour show, but it's 2 hours right now in Birmingham. So just understand this, as we exit at 4 o'clock from Birmingham, we are still live in Huntsville for another hour. And Right Side Radio is just so proud to be a part of the Birmingham market. Just glad to be joined in the Crawford Media Group's family. We have now spent a year with Cumulus Broadcasting at 770 AM and 92.5 FM out of Huntsville, and now proud to also be with Crawford Media in addition to Cumulus on WXJC 101.1 FM and WYDE 850 AM out of the Birmingham market. But when I say the market, understand that, I mean, between the two stations, or actually four stations that we're with, the broadcast range is pretty epic. I mean, we've got a combined 200,000 plus watts of broadcast capability that is blasting Right Side Radio across North Alabama right now. And it's pretty cool. If you look at it, if you look at a map, we're literally going from about Clanton to the Tennessee line, and we're going from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden, and we're, you know, we got parts of Tennessee, Georgia, and Mississippi just for good measure. I'm just saying, Right Side Radio blanketing the northern half of the state. All right, Huntsville, you stay tuned. We'll be right back. Birmingham, we'll be back tomorrow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. More to come.